married to Christ. The relationship, what a wonderful relationship. The rights and benefits that we receive, how wonderful and great they are. The responsibilities that we have as the bride of Christ when we're married to Him are many and expected by our bridegroom, Christ Himself. The last three lessons that we've studied last Sunday and this morning had to do with married to Christ, the relationship, married to Christ, the rights, married to Christ, the responsibility. Tonight, married to Christ, monogamy, or polygamy. About 22 or 23 years ago, one morning early, before I had awakened, the phone rang. The sheriff of Madison County, not Madison County, but the county where Clarksville is in Middle Tennessee, called and asked if there was a certain man who was a member of the church where I preached, and I affirmed that he was. And he said he has been killed in a plane crash. I'd like for you to go and tell his wife. That's Montgomery County instead of Madison. I dressed, called one of the elders to go with me, and we went out to the home to visit with this woman and her four children who had attended church regularly there and broke the news to her that her husband had been killed in a plane crash. Later in the day, I was back at the office. The phone rang. The voice on the other end said, "Do you know?" And he mentioned this person's name, and I said, "Yes." He said, "His wife has asked me to hold his funeral service." I said, "That's funny. His wife has asked me to hold his funeral service." One of the most unusual calls I ever got, one of the most unusual times I ever lived. After checking into the situation, we found that there was a wife and four children in Clarksville, and a wife and three children in Erie, Pennsylvania. We knew that he had been flying. He flew his own plane. We knew that he had been flying on his day off to another state and found out that he had been flying to Erie, Pennsylvania to live with that wife and children, one of which was his and two adopted. And the rest of the time, as he practiced medicine as a physician in Clarksville, Tennessee, and he was my doctor and a good doctor, living with that wife and four children, two of which were his and two of which were adopted. Now, that's not a soap opera. That's a story that I knew firsthand. At the time of his death, he was not living in polygamy, but there had been a time earlier that he evidently had. While he was married to one, he went to another county, obtained a license, and went through a ceremony to be married to the second. Later, that was annulled, and the process continued to divorce the first and to be married to the second, but at one time, he was living in polygamy. A year or so ago, I was at home here watching television, and on the story that was on television, there was presented a man who was a Mormon and his five wives, all living together, or at least in close proximity. In each of these cases, I suppose we could say that each of these men attended the wife of his choice. You and I think that's ridiculous. But folks, is it any more ridiculous to think that than to think that our Lord has 1,000 or 1,400 wives? This bride that we've been talking about, this bride of Jesus Christ, is it in the singular or the plural? The relationship that Christ the bridegroom has with the bride, is it a monogamous relationship or a polygamous relationship? Listen as I read five or six verses from Ephesians 5. "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. That's normally the way we read that passage. I want you to listen as I read it in a little bit different way. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the body, or the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Now, when you listen to that passage read in that way, do you get the idea that the relationship between Christ and his bride is monogamous? That there is one husband and one wife? One bridegroom and one bride, one head and one body. Notice four words that are used here in Ephesians chapter 5, and notice them as we see them used in other passages. First, notice the little word it. Isaiah 2, verse 2. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. This passage is one that we go back to very often to talk about the prophecy of the church and the promise of the kingdom. Notice when it was being talked about there, as he predicted what was going to take place in the relationship of this kingdom. And by the way, kingdom is a synonym to church and bride and body. That he always said here that it's an it. And I think even the smaller boys and girls know that it can never refer to many. In Daniel, the second chapter, verse 44, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. How many kingdoms? How many brides? In Matthew, the 16th chapter and verse 18, a verse that we've noticed that shows us how Jesus wanted a bride. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I suggest to you that the little word it used in Ephesians 5, where he's speaking concerning Christ and the church, emphasizes that the relationship between the bridegroom Christ and the bride is monogamous, and that Christ is not living in polygamy. Notice in the second place the word church. Going back to Ephesians 5, verse 25, Christ also loved the church. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. Verse 29, nourish and cherisheth even as the Lord the church. Verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And again in Matthew 16 and verse 18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm well aware that in Romans 16 he uses the plural, as he does in other cases, that God does in his word, the churches of Christ salute you. But if you will look in the context of Romans 16, you will find the church mentioned at a specific place, Shinshuri. You will find the church mentioned as being the church of the Gentiles, a specific group of people that are present. And the word church used in the sense of it meeting in a certain couple's house. And you see in the context that he's talking about local congregations. as we sometimes refer to them, are local churches when he's talking about it in the plural. Any time that the totality of those that belong to Christ is mentioned as a whole, it's mentioned as the church. The Lord added to the church daily those whom he was saving. The word church indicates that this is not a polygamous relationship. Notice the word body as it is used several times here in Ephesians chapter 5. Christ is the head of the church and he is the Savior of the body. Common sense itself tells us that each head has one body in that normal relationship, and we would expect that to be the case even here. Listen to some passages of Scripture for just a moment. Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17. For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Verse 20. But now are there many members, yet but one body. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16. That he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body. Colossians 3, verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. 10 times in these passages, the phrase one body is mentioned. A monogamous relationship? Certainly. Christ living in polygamy? Certainly not. And if there's any question as to whether or not he's talking about the church here, just look at passages like Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, Colossians 1, 18, Colossians 1, 24, all three of which say the church is the body. And again, that passage in 1 Corinthians 12, 20, there is but one body. And then look at the idea of the wife or the bride, as mentioned here in Ephesians 5. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and by that relationship you see the church being referred to as a wife. And that's exactly what we've been talking about now in all of these lessons. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. How many wives? In the 21st chapter and verse 9, there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. How many brides? How many wives? And remember back there in Ephesians chapter 5 that he was going to present to himself this glorious church, this glorious bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And now Revelation talks about it in the sense of a wedding feast. And then in the last chapter, 22 verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. How many brides? He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. John 3, verse 29. John the Baptist recognized that at that time, that there is the bridegroom and there is the bride, and that that bride belongs to the bridegroom, and that there is but one bride that belongs to that one bridegroom. When you look at the word it, the word church, the word body, and the word wife or bride in all of these passages, I believe there is conclusive proof that the Bible teaches that our Lord has but one bride, and that that bride is the one who is described in God's Word, called in other places his church, his body, his kingdom, and other words that are synonymous with that. What's the conclusion? Why is this important to us? I suggest to you tonight that it emphasizes to us that we are right in the restoration plea. We may not always do right ourselves, but we are right in the plea that we are making. When we plead with all different types of religion, where there is so much division, and where people in general have begun to think, without admitting it, that Christ has a polygamous relationship with so many different brides, folks, I'm convinced that we are right in trying to encourage people to all come together in oneness and unity with Christ, based on the Word of God, and to be a part of that monogamous relationship. And we are right when we look at those groups even within the Church of Christ that tend to go in so many different directions and make an appeal for us to come together, not just come together, but come together on the Word of God and hold to those guidelines that tell us the relationship between the bridegroom and the bride and learn to live in unity and oneness on this earth. And I think we're right one step further when we say even within the church and even within the local congregation that we constantly work to bring about oneness and unity, recognizing that there may be some differences among the members as there are differences among the members of my body. But all of them joined together and joined to that head, and all of them a part of that bride that is married to Jesus Christ. Our Lord has but one bride. We're not saying by that we think we're better than somebody else, or that what we're doing is always right and what somebody else is doing is always wrong. We're saying that what's given in this pattern here is right. And what is given in here describes that one bride of Jesus Christ, and that we, along with everybody else, must constantly work to try to come closer and closer and closer to make that bride that unit that God wants it to be in being married to Jesus Christ. A monogamous relationship with all of its rights and all of its responsibilities. We have no apology to make at any time when we make these appeals. When we encourage people to come and be a part of that church, that bride, that body that's talked about in the Word of God, that gives respect and reverence to the head there in that 33rd verse. The wife respecting and reverencing her own husband, Jesus Christ the bridegroom. And when we encourage you to come to Christ and to live for Him, that's what we're asking. To be a part of the church, the body, the bride that belongs to Christ. If you need to be baptized into Christ tonight or to come back to Him, we encourage you to do that as together we stand and sing.